Go ahead and find your outline in your program if you want to follow along and fill in the blanks that way. If you brought a smartphone or tablet with you and you have the YouVersion app, if you click on Live Events, you should be able to find ACC, and you can log on there, and you can take notes electronically and have them with you on that tablet or smartphone if you'd like. I would encourage you to do that as well. And then if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you notice in your notes, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible, I'd encourage you to grab one from the chair in front of you so that you can read in just a little bit and follow along with us and see that we're taking it right out of God's Word. If you have that marked, then you'll be ready to jump in when we start and when we get there just a little bit later. I think since it's only February 1st, we're still close enough to the new year that I would hope you're still thinking in your mind, how am I going to be different at the end of this year? Is there going to be anything different about my life? Am I going to make some of the changes I know I need to make? A number of years ago, I came across a quote. I can't remember who exactly made it, but the quote went something like this. You will be the same person that you are today 1 year from now, except for the experiences that you have, the people that you meet, and the books that you read. You'll be the same person 1 year from now as you are today, except for the experiences that you have, the people that you meet, and the books that you read. In other words, what we allow to influence is going to make a big difference. That's why we're trying this year to get you started in the habit of getting into the book, reading the Bible. And so we're in this 40 days in the Word in order to help really all of us develop a habit of some regular Bible intake. Letting God's Word speak into your life as many days as possible. Now, I don't know what you thought when you first heard that, or what you even think about when we mentioned, hey, we'd like you to get into God's Word every day. There's going to be a lot of different reactions, but maybe some of you at one time or another have maybe thought this when somebody thinks about reading the Bible. They say to themselves, you know what? I've tried reading the Bible, and I don't ever get much out of it. In fact, when I read it, it's kind of boring. It seems dry. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. In fact, I'm not even sure why people made such a big deal about the Bible. It seems like such a closed book to me. Now, if you've ever felt that way at all, then you picked a great day to be here because today we're going to talk about how the Bible can sometimes feel like a closed book and how God wants to open it up for you so that you can start seeing what God wants you to see in His Word. See, if you don't understand the purpose behind the Bible and what's also necessary to truly understand it, then right up front, the Bible is going to be a difficult book for you. Now, before we jump into what we're going to look at today, I want to do a quick review of where we've been the last couple of weeks. And just a reminder, if you want to listen to the messages, you can go online and stream them there. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about the 7 reasons why you can trust that the Bible is God's Word. It's not just a human book. It's the actual Word of God to us. And if you remember our memory verse, we're going to try to encourage you to go back and do that. They're short little verses, but powerful messages. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If God's given us His Word, we'd want to let it into our hearts richly. Then last week, if you were here, Dave Erickson talked about how the Bible changes us. By teaching us, rebuking us when we need it, correcting us, and training us in righteousness. In other words, it shows us how to get on the right path in life. It tells us when we get off that path. It shows us how to get back on the path. And then it helps train us how to make sure we can stay on that path. And our memory verse this last week was Psalm 119, verse 18. And it really is like a prayer. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And let me just share, that's my prayer, that's our prayer today as we try to take a look at what it is that makes God's Word understandable. So today we want to look at seeing what God wants us to see, what He wants me to see. Now, a man was looking for his lost keys under a streetlight one night on the street, and a passerby asked him if he was sure that that was where he had actually dropped his keys. And the man replied, well, no, actually, I'm pretty sure I dropped them over there on the grass. And the guy said, well, why on earth are you searching for them here? And the guy said, well, because the light is so much better here under the street lamp. Isn't it true that when we have light in our lives, it makes us easier to see the things that we need to see? And I hope you recognize today the gift of sight that God gave us is an incredible gift because it opens up the world to us. So I want to do a little exercise here, and I need everybody to participate this morning. And again, don't worry, the person next to you, well, I can't guarantee that part, but I don't think the person next to you will do anything strange. But I would like for all of you right now to really just go ahead and close your eyes. If you would, everybody close your eyes. I'm even closing mine. Now, when you close your eyes, what do you see? Probably nothing, isn't it? I mean, I don't see anything when I close my eyes. And that's because I'm not letting any light get into my sight or to my vision. Okay, let's go ahead now and open your eyes. And what do you see? Well, not very much right at first, but you know, it takes a little while. Your eyes kind of open up. Right now, I can see everybody who's looking at their smartphone. Hopefully, you're following along on the version there, not playing words with friends or something like that. But you'll notice that it requires light for us to be able to see. That's the power of light. It's light or illumination that makes it possible for you to see. And if we can't see, then it's probably one of two things. Either our eyes are closed or there's not enough light. And isn't it true that the more light you have, the clearer things become? And that's why I would say all of us need some light. In fact, every one of us needs illumination in our lives. And think about it, this is especially true when it comes to God's Word. When it comes to God's Word, the more light, the more illumination in your mind, the more you're going to get out of God's Word. In order for you and I to see what God wants us to see, we need some illumination. And so today we're going to talk about biblical illumination. And what is biblical illumination? And here would be the definition of it. Biblical illumination is when the Holy Spirit shows me the meaning of God's Word and then how it applies to my life. Biblical illumination is when the Holy Spirit shows me not only the meaning of God's Word, but also how it applies to my life. Now, before Jesus left this earth and went back to heaven, he said to his disciples, he says, I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit to live with you and to live in you. And one of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit will be to illuminate the Bible, to help you see the things in the Bible that you wouldn't see otherwise. Now, we just came through the Christmas season. And it's true that many times when we buy gifts for the little kiddos, that on a number of those packages, they have this little reminder written on the side of the package that says something like, batteries not included. They often rarely say that they're included. Batteries not included. That means they're not going to run very well. A toy without batteries is still a toy, but it's not able to live up to its full potential. You've got to have the power to make it run. And that is what the Holy Spirit does for the Word of God. So in John 14, the Bible says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he is going to teach you all things, and he's going to remind you of everything that I've said to you. Now that's what Jesus told or promised his disciples was going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes. So God not only provides you with revelation, His Word, but also He provides you with inspiration, the power to be able to understand and to interpret and to see things in God's Word that you have never seen before. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So again, in John chapter 16, Jesus said, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, Jesus promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would help them to be able to understand the truth of God's Word. Now, to see how this all fits together, I want us to take a look this morning at Ephesians chapter 1. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to some Christ followers in the city of Ephesus in a church that he had started. And I want you to think of it. It's people probably just like you and I. Obviously, they lived in a different time, but people just like us who are trying to figure out this thing of what God wants us to do. So let's go ahead. If you have your Bibles, jump into Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start reading with verse 13. It says, and you also, those Christians, were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Then he goes on, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And then he shares how he's praying. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him better." And then look at verse 18. "And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Notice his prayer was that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened so that they could understand spiritual reality, spiritual truth. Folks, that's because the Bible is no ordinary book. It is a supernatural book. And so not only is it God's word, but think about it, it's probably one of the only books you'll ever have where you'll actually be able to have a conversation with the author while you're reading it. And I would encourage you to do so. That's called illumination. So as I oftentimes read the Bible, in the back of my mind, I'm asking, "Lord, Holy Spirit, as I read this, what does it mean? How can it make a difference in my life? How am I supposed to use this today?" And what I've discovered is that the Holy Spirit speaks into my thoughts, providing impressions, opening up my spiritual eyes. And then sometimes it's like the light goes on in my mind, and I might even make the statement, "Oh, I see, I understand." So how does all this work? How does it work? Because we're talking about some different stuff. And a reminder this morning that all of us here, we live in two worlds. There's the spiritual world, which we cannot see. And that's where God and the angels and all of that dwell. And then there's the physical world that we can see. And we need to remember that the physical world was created from the spiritual world. And so the spiritual world is going to outlast this physical world. One day, everything that you and I see, it is going to be gone. This beautiful building that we worship in, it is going to crumble. These clothes that we're wearing today, they're going to wear out. That's because physical things don't last. They are temporary. That's why I keep reminding you, you're not just a human being that's having a spiritual experience. You are ultimately a spiritual being that's having a human experience. And so everything in the spiritual realm is going to last forever. So think about it. Ultimately, the spiritual world is more real than the physical world. But often, we can't see it unless God opens our eyes to see the things that we wouldn't normally see. Now, in the physical realm, everything that you learn in life comes through the five senses that God gave you. Hearing, taste, touch, smell, sight. Everything you experience in your entire life comes through one of those five senses. If you don't have those senses, then you aren't going to experience anything. Well, when you are spiritually born again into God's family, God gives you a second set of senses. You're going to get spiritual ears to hear some things you've never heard before. And you're going to get spiritual eyes. And all of a sudden, you're going to start to see some things that you did not ever see before. Those are the eyes of your heart that Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 1. That's our spiritual senses. Now, when it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened," the word enlightened there is the Greek word photizo. It's the word we get the word photo from. Now, what is a photo? A photo is an image of light on a piece of paper or through digitization. We got that today. And so to enlighten means to shine some light on something. And that happens when you're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, one day, the light bulb goes on in your mind. And you say, "Wow, I've never seen that before." And it's kind of like one of those aha moments. And you think, "I've read that verse before a number of times, but I've never seen that before." And you know, that's exactly what I needed right now to encourage me. How did that happen? Has anybody here experienced that in your life? I would imagine if you spend any time in God's Word, it has. Now, maybe for some of you here today, that's never happened in your life. I mean, you've read the Bible, and it's just been words that you've read, and you've never had one of those aha moments where you think, that's exactly what I needed. And so you're one of those who said, what's the big deal about God's word? Hang on a little bit later. For some of you, maybe that's only happened a few times, every now and then, every once in a while. Well, today what we're going to talk about is how to make this a regular part of your daily Bible reading so that the Bible's more than just a printed words on a piece of paper. But when you read it, it will come alive. And you'll read it and you'll think, wow, that's good. This is powerful. I never saw that before, but that's exactly what I needed. It was like God was speaking directly to me. That's what happens when your spiritual eyes are opened. And it will have a significant impact on your life. Think of it as illumination. And so this morning, let's talk just real quickly. What are some of the impact, or what is the impact of illumination in your life? What is it that makes the difference? Well, in Psalm 119, verse 105, the writer there says, God, your word, it's like a lamp for my feet. It's like a light for my path. Now, I'm wondering today, how many of you, at least one time in your life, you've been walking through a dark room or a dark house and at least once have stubbed your toe? How many? I can't imagine you getting through life without that happening at least once. It happens to everyone. And why does that happen? Because you're walking through a dark house and you can't see what is in front of you. And what God's word does is it lights up the world for us and provides three things. Number one, it provides help. Illumination helps me to see what I'm doing, which is so helpful. And also, it reminds me of God's presence. Now, again, I don't know about for you, but for me, sometimes life can feel like I'm walking around in the dark. And stuff happens to me, and I say, you know what? That just doesn't make sense. I don't see how that makes sense. And then I read God's word, and I begin to understand. Today, if you look on your Bible reading plan, the chapter you're supposed to be reading is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And 40 years or so ago, there was a rock group who made kind of a hit from the Bible, the scripture, the words that it talks about, because it says there's a time for everything and a season for every purpose under heaven. I hope when you read that today, the lights go on and you say, you know what? There is going to be some ebb and flow in my life. There's going to be seasons of my life. Because what I've discovered is my life goes through seasons. Now, what season are we in right now? Winter. It snowed last night. What is winter like? Winter's kind of cold and barren and hard. And there are some of you here today, you're living in a winter season. You're kind of going, what is going on? There's nothing growing. There's nothing happening. And I'm just holding on for dear life. Well, you're probably in a winter. And see, the Bible helps me understand that. What's the season that comes right after winter? Spring. And see, just a few months away, we're going to head into spring. Spring is usually an awesome time. Why? Because new life appears and things start to grow, and we've all had those times where like, wow, everything's all of a sudden coming alive and it's making sense. And then what's the season that follows spring? I'm just checking to see if you know. It's summer, and we're not very agrarian, but I'll tell you what, on the farm, you know what summer is? It's hard work time. I mean, you're out there, you're cultivating, you're pulling weeds, you're doing all the hard work, and whoo, you can get kind of wore out in the summer. And some of you are in that season right now. You're working hard and life's a little difficult. What's the season that comes after summer? Fall. You guys are 100% today. That's good. It's fall. And what happens in the fall? Fall is the harvest. And so you start to reap some of the things. And some of you today, I hope you're living in the fall season because it's fun to be able to harvest and see the things come back to your life. Now, you'd have to know when you're in fall, what's the next season? It goes into winter and that's not so good. But that's how God's word provides us with help. And so, for example, in Psalm 119 again, the psalmist writes here and says, oh, how I love your law, God. I meditate on it all day long because your commands are always with me. And they make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all of my teachers because I meditate on your statutes. So not only does God help me see what I'm doing through his word, but he also reminds me of his presence. And that's one of the greatest challenges that you and I have is all too often we feel like we're alone in this world. That somehow God has forgotten us. He's abandoned us. He's left us alone. He's left us behind. And then I go to God's word. And he keeps saying over and over again, it's a number of times, he says, hey, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And I'm reminded that his presence is there. And so it provides help. Second thing God's word provides for us is it reveals hazards. Illumination helps me to see obstacles that are blocking my way. I mean, think about it. When the lights are on, what's the good news? I can kind of see what is in front of me, what may be hindering my progress. In a few days, you're going to be reading Matthew chapter 6 from the Sermon on the Mount. And you're going to notice that it says something right in the first part of that chapter, verse 1. It says, be careful. Why? It's warning you of a hazard. And it says, be careful not to do your acts or practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, because if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And isn't that part of the nature of us when we do something nice, we really would like somebody to pat us on the back and say, hey, good job, and that was great, that was awesome that you do that. In fact, you know, it's interesting. Next month, we're going to be doing our Be the Church Sunday, and almost every year that we've done this, we've had somebody come up and say, hey, you ought to talk to the newspapers. They ought to know that what incredible things this church is doing. And I'm like, no, because I don't want what we're doing to be rewarded in the praise of people. I want it to be something that we do because we're trying to honor God and we want to acknowledge Him. So it warns us of hazards, helps us to see obstacles that are blocking our way. And then thirdly, it provides hope. It provides hope. It helps illuminate where I am going. Now, we're living in a crazy world. I feel some for our young people that are growing up, because I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit disheartened. Every week you hear about some person who's having their head cut off and being executed, and you think, wow, I mean, what is the world coming to? And if that's all we had, you know, in this world today, it'd be kind of sad, it'd be kind of depressing. But the Bible gives us hope. And so when people say, wow, I wonder what the world's coming to, I say, you know what, actually, good news is God already told us. What's the world coming to? It's coming to an end. We know that it's coming to an end. And that's when the evil and the wickedness in this world is going to cease and the good things are going to start. And so even though it's coming to an end, I know it's an end that I don't have to fear, because we already read God's team wins. And I've been given the freedom and the privilege to be able to choose to be on God's team. The Apostle Paul understood this probably better than anybody else. And so the poor guy is spending time in prison. He's in jail. He doesn't know if he's going to be executed or if he's going to get out. And if you read Philippians chapter 1, I don't know if that made the list, but if you read Philippians chapter 1, he's saying, you know what, I guess I'd be okay with either one. If I get out, I'll work hard for Jesus. And if I die, guess what? To live is Christ. To die is gain. Now, help reveals hazards. It gives us hope. Some of you might be sitting there and saying, well, geez, how come I don't get that when I read the Bible? And that's because there are four requirements for illumination. Four things that are necessary for me to see all God wants me to see. And we got to go through these pretty quickly, but they're all important. First of all, if you want to see what God wants you to see, if I do, I must be in a relationship with Christ. I have to be in a relationship with Christ. That's the starting point. See, if you're not at that point yet, then you're most likely spiritually blind, and you have little hope of seeing things from God's point of view. You've got to make that connection first. And it's not that you just know about Jesus. A lot of people know about Jesus. You actually need to know Jesus, because you've committed yourself and your life to Him. You have to have a relationship. And until you begin that relationship, you're only going to see things from a human viewpoint, because we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says the person without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. You ever wonder why you talk to people about spiritual things and they say, that's a bunch of hogwash? It says, and they cannot understand them because they are only discerned through the Spirit. That's one of the reasons why we have to be careful in the church. We should never expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are believers, because they're not going to have the same perspective. They're not going to have the same viewpoint. And you can make all the laws in the world that you want to make people act and do the right thing, but they're not going to do it because it's probably not going to make sense. My spiritual eyes are going to be blinded until I have that connection with God. And there are incredible things in the Bible, but when I don't see them, it's usually not the Bible's fault. It's because I'm spiritually blind. And you can't see until the eyes of your heart have been enlightened. So if you've been trying to read the Bible and you don't get it, the place to start would be make sure you're in a relationship with Christ. And if that might be you this morning, I just want to tell you, we can take care of that at the end of the service today. When it's all over, make sure you come up and see me, and we can take care of that today. Second requirement for illumination, I must remember who is God and who is not. If I'm really going to hear from God's word, I've got to remember who is God and who it's not. I mean, let's face it, it seems to be in our nature to think that we kind of know it all or most of it, if not all of it, at least we know most of it, and if not, we can figure it out. I'm wondering this morning, how many of you, if you haven't raised adolescents, have been an adolescent yourself? If you've been an adolescent, you know this. If you've raised it, you've experienced it for yourself. But you ever notice when your kids get to be teenagers that you start to get dumber and dumber and dumber? The older they get, the dumber you get, because you're kind of like losing your senses. And that's a hard thing for parents to go through. And the only redemption is that as your kids get older and wiser, they start to experience life. You know what? They get smarter. You get smarter, don't you? And they start to say, wow, mom and dad weren't as, you know, dumb as we thought. Usually why? Because they've been humbled by life. And they've said, you know what? My parents did have an idea. And sometimes the reason we don't understand God's word is because we need to get humbled. And in Psalm 25, the Bible says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. See, if I come to the Word of God and I think, I've got all this figured out. I don't really need God's help on this marriage issue. I don't really need God's help on this financial issue. Then you're probably not going to get much out of God's Word, because your eyes are going to be closed. And you need to come to God's Word with a humble attitude. Another way to say it would be like this. I know I am, and I know I'm not. And when I say I know I am is the great I am. And if you know who I am is, then you know that you am not. And that's not good English, but that works. And when you get to that point, you'll be able to say what it says in Proverbs chapter 3. We just read that. It says, now I can trust in the Lord with all my heart, because I'm not leaning on my own understanding, and all of my ways acknowledging him. And then you know what? Wow, it's amazing. He makes our path straight. Third requirement for illumination is you got to prepare your mind and your heart to receive. Now, we don't see many of these anymore, but any of you recognize this? That's rabbit ears. I mean, now we got cable, you know. TV signals don't fly through the air because we got cable right now. We used to have to use these to get television, to get television reception. And you know what it was like, wasn't it? You know, I mean, you'd do anything just to get the reception, because if it's not centered in the right way, you're just not going to pick anything up. And so sometimes we need to think about that when we come to God's Word. Have we prepared our heart and our mind to be able to receive? Now, in order to be prepared to receive God's word, two things I got to do. I must be still and I must come clean. If I want to receive what God's word has to say, I need to be still and I need to come clean. Now, in Psalm 46, verse 10, the Bible says, he says, be still and know that I am God. What does that mean? It means intentionally giving God your attention. And we rarely do that in life. We're so busy running from one thing to the next. We rarely ever stop and make some time. That's why I'd encourage you, in these 40 days, you need to kind of set a time and find a place where you can be still. And for those of you got kids at home, that's going to be rough. Might have to be in the morning before they go up, get up at night after they've gone to bed. But you need a quiet place where you can just come. I want to encourage you, one of the ways you're already being still, most of you, is on Sunday morning when you come in here and you sit for half an hour, because you finally stop and you say, hey, let's talk, let's think about some spiritual things for a little while. And so you have an opportunity to do that, but you've got to be still. And you know, one of the reasons why we do the worship part before we get into God's word, you know why that is? Because you know what it says, be still and know that I'm God? I hope when you come in here on Sunday morning and we worship for a little while, you say, wow, I know that he's God and he sits on the throne, and I want to come humbly before him. So we've got to be still. But you also need to come clean. You need to come clean. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 5, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You are not going to be able to see what God wants you to see unless your heart is pure. Now let me just say right up front, pure does not mean perfect. If God only illuminated the hearts of perfect people, nobody would ever hear anything because there aren't any perfect people. Pure in heart means I'm caught up today on my confession. And what that means is there's nothing between me and God because I've confessed it to him. I've acknowledged it to him. See, what you've got to recognize, guys, and some gals even are getting into this, if you're viewing a bunch of pornography and then you want to come and sit down and say, hey, God, I need some instruction from you for my job, probably isn't going to happen. Because it says, blessed are the pure in heart. They're the ones that are going to see God. And if I'm filling my mind with garbage and trashy novels and magazines and movies and TV shows and junk, and if I'm filling my mind with bitterness and lust and resentment and anger and jealousy and envy, and then I come to God and say, hey, show me, and I don't have a clear conscience, I've got to come clean. Just this last week, you guys got to read through Psalm 51. You need to kind of mark that. Psalm 51, it was, you know, David's come clean moment. He had sinned in a horrible way, and he sat down with God and said, God, man, I have blown it. And in Psalm 51, verse 10, notice what he says. His prayer is, God, give me back a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Well, it's not just with God that we need to come clean. It's also with others as well. Notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2. It says, anyone who hates his brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in darkness. They don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded their eyes. See, the reason you might be in the dark spiritually is because you've got some unresolved conflict in your life. That's why you can't see straight, because you're in the darkness. If I'm out of sync relationally, I'm probably not going to get much out of the Word of God. If Diane and I have a great big, you know, fight or argument or something, and then I just go sit down and say, okay, God, I need you to teach me from your word, it's probably not going to happen until I go back and restore that relationship. That needs to be a part of what we're doing. So you might have a hard time hearing from God because you need to come clean. And then finally, the fourth requirement for illumination is I've got to be committed to do whatever God reveals. Because you know what? God's going to reveal something and you're like, yeah, that's not what I was looking for. That really wasn't what I wanted to hear. And notice what Psalm 119, verse 34 says. It says, give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. See, I need to have the attitude when I come to God's word. You need to have the attitude when you come to God's word. God, whatever you show me today, I will attempt to act on it. I'm saying to you, God, I'm getting ready to be still so I can listen to you, and I need you to teach me what I need to know this week to help me with my kids, with my marriage, with my family, with my business. Help me to see so that I can do. And God, I'm going to do what you want me to do, even if it doesn't make sense, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't agree with it, even if it isn't popular according to the world, even if it isn't easy, I'm saying yes even before you tell me what to do. Now, why is that so important? Because whatever God reveals to you is not just so you can know. It's so that you can do. And our memory verse for this week, James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's why we're trying to spend 40 days in the word. Let's pray. Father, once again, we're amazed at the fact that you have provided and preserved for us your word. And we know it's hard sometimes for us to understand because it is spiritually minded and we need to be spiritually minded. I pray for every person in this room that you would help us to be able to always move to a point where you can actually help us to see what we need to see. Father, if there's someone today in this room who needs to enter that relationship with you, I pray that you would move them to come forward, to step out, to make a decision to follow you today so that you can shine some light into their life. And I pray that all of us would come at your word humbly and be ready to let it speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.